ratified by the US Congress. So a protracted political stalemate in South Korea could embarrass Lee and might even sour the bromance. Louisa Lim, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News.
This is WCVE Public Radio. It's time for our weekly report from PolitiFact Virginia, and we're joined again this morning by reporter Sean Gorman. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Wayne.
We have two Truth-O-Meter items to ask you about today. First of all, a statement put out by Tim Kaine's Senate campaign group about his prospective Republican opponent for the 2012 state Senate seat in Virginia, George Allen. Allen, of course, attempting to reclaim that seat that he lost in 2006. Both Kaine and Allen are former governors, and they have not yet won their party's nominations. They're subject to primary voting next summer. But nevertheless, they're kind of going at it hammer and tongue against each other. Mm-hmm. Kaine, his campaign at least, put out a statement that a flat tax proposal made by George Allen would reduce revenue even more than Rick Perry's flat tax proposal. You check the math on that, and what'd you find out?
Well, Perry is calling for a 20% flat income tax. Now, his plan would allow exemptions of $12,500 for each individual and dependent, and it calls for preserving deductions for mortgage interest, charitable contributions, as well as state and local taxes. But it phases out those deductions for people with incomes exceeding $500,000. Now, Kaine says Allen advocates a 17% flat tax, and so that would cost more tax revenue than Perry's plan. Now, at a news conference several months ago, Allen had said he supported having a flat tax alternative to the current tax code. Now, Allen said that there's a lot of people who would like to opt out of the current system and multiply their income by, quote, say, 0.17. Now, Allen's campaign said the wording of that statement shows the candidate was throwing out a hypothetical number, not locking himself into a 17% rate. Kaine's campaign cited multiple examples of Allen referring to a 17% flat tax rate, but Allen would say the word say before citing the 17%, creating some headroom on whether that is his flat tax rate. And we asked the Allen campaign what percent would be subject to the flat tax and what deductions and exemptions Allen would seek. But a senior advisor to the Allen campaign said he hasn't settled on a single flat tax plan to support. And in a 2010 book, Allen talks favorably about a 25% flat tax on both income and payroll taxes. And Robertson Williams, a senior fellow at the Tax Policy Center, said he suspects that that would cost more tax revenue than Perry's plan because it would affect both income and payroll taxes. Perry's flat tax rate only pertains to income. But Williams said he couldn't come to a definite conclusion about whether Allen would drain more tax revenue than Perry because he doesn't know the details of what Allen is proposing. There's no specifics on what deductions or exemptions Allen is seeking, and that would be key to determining if his plan costs more than Perry's. So Kaine stretches the truth a bit in saying Allen would set the flat tax rate lower than Perry. We don't fault Kaine for demanding specificity from Allen, but he goes too far when he tries to create a plan for Allen based on inconclusive statements, so we rate the claim false.
All right. Now, Jim Webb is the current holder of that seat that they're fighting over in 2012. He's not going to seek re-election. He was successful in unseating Allen back in 2006. And he made a statement that might surprise some, at least current-day, younger supporters of former President Ronald Reagan, the noted conservative leader. Webb said that Ronald Reagan raised the national debt 18 times. So you check that out, and what did you find?
Well, Webb was lamenting the partisanship that had gripped the country. A case in point he cited was the battle to raise the U.S. debt ceiling. And he said Ronald Reagan raised it 18 times. And did he raise it that many times? Now, Reagan was in office from January 1981 until January 1989, and there were 18 separate debt limit increases during that time. The Office of Management and Budget lists every debt law passed back then, and after every debt limit increase, it lists how much the debt limit rose to. Now, two laws in 1987 said they raised the limit to the same amount, $2.3 trillion. So we wondered, should those two debt raises be counted as one increase or two? Now, Richard Kogan, a senior fellow at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, said that in May 1987, the debt ceiling was raised to $2.32 trillion, a level that expired on July 17th that year. And for a couple weeks, the debt ceiling reverted to a previous level of $2.1 trillion before being raised yet again in July 1987 back to $2.32 trillion. Guggen said he would consider that two increases, not one. So you could make a semantic argument that it's 17 debt limit increases instead of 18 under Reagan, but Webb is pretty solid, is on pretty solid ground in saying it's 18 increases, so we rate the claim true.
And as we said, some current conservative Republicans who are dead set against apparently raising the debt limit or making a huge issue of it might be surprised that Reagan was willing to compromise sometimes to get things done. Okay. Thanks to Sean Gorman at PolitiFact Virginia, checking the facts. We'll talk to you again next Tuesday.
Oh, thanks, Wayne.
It's Marketplace Tech Report.